that's denying our souls. A state of mind that denies what you know. Selling a high when you really feel low. Swallowing words that we should have spoke. Times I feel stuck, I don't know where to go. Pray to my heart that I'll find the flow. Can't be somebody that I never chose. Can't live with sadness, one life's all I'll know. Standing my way, doing what I was told. I'm a gem, but they say I'm a stone. I'm tired of them, I wanna find home. Why do I always feel lost and alone? So many questions I wish that I knew. Being myself is the hardest to do. But this time I'm hoping the light will shine through. It's bigger than them, I'm following my truth.
Good advice. voice of the future, speak to me kindly. Ask for what I want, and somehow it find me. Somehow it find me. Somehow it find me.
To the dark, I'm at the end of the world, another end of the world. Love is at the end of the world. Love is at the end of the world.
You fall apart when you fall into it. Love is at the end of the world. And every song that you sing back to it, love is at the end of the world.
From your future,
was Love is at the End of the World by Basia Bula, who is a Canadian singer and artist, and just amazing. Like, why have I not listened to any of those songs before is my question to myself. But no, this is from the 2020 album called Hall of Mirrors, and I definitely recommend you guys to check it out if you are into like indie songs. Yeah, and I went, when I said in songs, and I just like my brain went somewhere unrelated, because I was talking to, I was not actually talking, but like commenting on something, and yeah, it was weird because I said that the songs that were like shot or like produced in 1980s or 90s was like a song from like the last century, because it is honestly a new century, right? So in all honesty, I was trying to say my best, but yeah, it was funny. Anyways, coming back to the discussion of positionality and what it even means and how and why it is relevant to the work that we do when we engage in any sort of public communication, maybe it's via visual medium or it's like through written or oral medium. And positionality, as ChatGPT, no, I hate ChatGPT, it's not from ChatGPT, as the internet research tells me, because I think it's very hard to contextualize positionality because it is made up of many, many characteristics. But essentially, it means that the positionality is the researcher's awareness of his or her or their own assumptions, values, and biases, and how they may or may not influence the work or the research processes and the outcomes they are doing. So I think I was talking a couple of weeks back about how framing is important and what does even framing mean. So specifically when writing something, maybe it's an essay or it's a poem, we are writing it from our own experiences or our own understanding of certain things, and that tends to have, even if we try to ignore it or even if we are not fully aware of it, there is an inbuilt bias in how we understand and we shape our conceptualization of anything. So for example, if I say, oh, chocolates are really good, for me, it must have or might have had some connections to my past, my growing up, my family, my friends, the people around me. That is the reason I like a certain thing or I hate a certain thing, because I have been grown in those environments, in those circumstances. That is the reason why my thinking or my understanding of certain things is the way it is. And when we are talking about positionality, it's important because it allows us to unpack and understand why do we have those understandings and what can we do to not have those understandings impact the things that we write or we do. So for example, if I'm writing an article on let's say water bottles, just random topic. So because I'm a researcher or a person who is directly involved or is interested in the topic of climate change naturally, what my instinct would be or my bias, quote unquote, would be that I see this topic of bottles through a sustainability lens, through a climate crisis lens, the issue of plastic bottles. That is the sort of ideas that come to my mind first when I just think about writing something regarding bottles. I don't know why I would do that, but that's just an example to show how like our biases or our understandings shape the way we think about things. But as we go into public communication, as we go into writing for the people or engaging with the people, we need to be mindful of these biases and these understandings and the shape and the frame that we give to a certain issue. So, for example, if I was supposed to write on the bottle, I should be aware of and should be mindful that, okay, not everybody can make those linkages, and I don't want to make linkages that are based on just my biases and not just based on factual understanding, and this idea of objectivity comes into play as well. Well, that idea is flawed in some sense, because there is nothing objective completely, because everything is subjective or relative to the other thing. Even gravity is like that. It is relative to the other object. So the gravity is pulling of the other objects relative to you. So like even in sciences and hard sciences, the motion of objects is relative. So when we calculate speed of something or distance of something, we have a point of reference. We measure the distance or the speed relative to something. So even in social sciences, this idea of relativity, or this idea of, oh, this is a point of reference, so we are drawing from this. If we go left, we are left leaning. If we go right from that point, it's right leaning. But the point is that the point of reference itself needs to be placed in a way that it is neither left or right. And that is not possible, because we as humans can't be completely neutral. It's not possible. We cannot be objective. We cannot be facts. There would be some personal biases, some framing, some understanding that we shape and comprehend those points of references. And that's how we understand certain things. And that is a part of reflecting on our positionality, to see, oh, okay, so are we centrist? Are we left-leaning, right-leaning? And why we are that way we are? And understanding, oh, okay, if we are left-leaning, what ideas or what sort of claims the other side might make, and why are they making that? Okay, they make that, but why do they do that? How do they do that? So that is the sort of reflection that needs to be done before writing. But positionality is more so about your own self. So how do you perceive or understand or see your own biases and beliefs that may or may not influence how you research something or how you portray as an outcome of an experiment? So even in sciences, when we say, oh, this is a significant change, or this is highly significantly, even those two outcomes are different, and it really depends on the researcher who is performing that experiment, who chooses to use the word highly, highly likely, or just likely. So that also changes and shifts, and that generally depends upon the positionality and the biases that we might bring to the table when we are writing or researching. The best practice, because it's honestly very inevitable, it is bound to happen, because that's how our human brain is wired to function. The best ways to reflect on that positionality and being aware of that, and even I have seen some people and authors reflecting on those personality as they write. So they write that, oh, okay, so I belong to these forces of power and privilege, and I might not be the best person to convey this, but this is my understanding. So we have to like understand, oh, why is the person doing like that? Because they understand that their reflections and their understandings might shape or might not shape the influence of the outcome or the research that they did. Yeah, I think it made sense. but I want to give Taylor Swift more time this time, because I know every single time I play any of her songs, we always run out of time and I have to cut it off in between. So not this time. I'm gonna play one of her songs from the album Midnight, which came 7 months ago now. I can't believe it. But I still love the song. It has such a good vibe. I know that's a Gen Z term and it's overused and cliche, but you get the point. It's really good. It's very good music. I just love it. So I'm gonna play that and say you guys goodbye and see you next week, perhaps on Tuesday and then even on Thursday. Stay hydrated and yeah, I hope you enjoy the song.
Stay there.
So that was Would Have, Could Have, Should Have by Taylor Swift on her album called Midnights. And I will take your leave for today. And I hope I'll have some guests to talk about some of the interesting topics next week. And I really look forward to talking about some other interesting aspects as well next week. Yes, that's my time and over and out for today. I hope you guys have a great weekend and I hope you don't get burnt out just as me. And yeah, have a great, great time. And that you were listening to CGSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from unceded Coast Salish territories in Burnaby, British Columbia.